welcome to the Rants Macabre. This is Darren. I'm flying solo this week as Mindy's been traveling for work, and next week I'm going to be out of town, so this is a small experiment. I'm going to be reading a short story I wrote. It is about travel and summertime. The Call of Dunedin by Darren Rosario. In the history of Dunedin Township, there have been exactly two bad floods. Storms come and go, but never seem to settle on the two-square-mile town. This well-kept secret is mostly kept by locals, but a few families a year will come through and fall in love with the little burg. This year, it's the Bradleys. My wife and I were taking a road trip down from North Carolina to the Keys, going down the Gulf Coast. Leslie was driving, I was taking a nap. She pulled over to some motel on 19, led me to bed, and we both woke up in this quiet little beach town. We had a couple of hours before checkout, and she had a hunch. We went around toward the downtown. There were antique shops for her, breweries, and a minor league ballpark for me. We fell in love pretty quick. "Well, we're happy to have you. This town could use a few more people like you, who really appreciate all it has to offer." We were important, and they made us feel that way. This pillar of the community reaching out to us because they saw value. These were the thoughts running through my head as we were ushered out to sea. My hand tight around Leslie's hand. All the comfort I might give now was a joke. Away teams loved coming through Dunedin for the Blue Jays Stadium. Theirs might have been a minor league stadium, but there was a grand air to that diamond. The weather is dependable, and there was rarely a rain delay. For summer months, that's a rarity in Florida. Such a tight community, with quick word getting around, they knew Charlie was a newcomer. Well attended for a minor league game, they still found time to welcome him and his wife as new residents to their community. That announcement over the loudspeaker fulfilled one of Charlie's childhood dreams. He never told anybody, but that moment was one he fantasized about since he was 9 years old. Everyone's attention on him, his name spoken over the PA so that everyone might hear. Welcoming him to the community, people rose from their seats with their attention on him, clapping their hands. Focused. Charlie even got a free hot dog at the concession stand for being the newest resident in town. Those smiles, winks, and nods kept ringing through his head while the surf washed up at his knees. He thought nothing about them at the time. Community was always something he wanted for himself. Charlie had lived in cities and suburbs, but had never really felt like part of a community. When his neighbors showed up with housewarming welcome wagon baskets, he was thrilled to be part of something. When strange cars came down his block, his eyes weren't the only ones following them. They were together, home team, looking out for their common interests, their safety. I realized they wanted me here all along. My house came partially furnished, and the neighborhood came fully expecting. The people on the shore sang something in unison, but even together, they can't compete with the waves crashing down on our ears. I wonder if I might have done something different. What more could they want? Leslie's head turns back and forth between the shore and the horizon. She tells me, "They're not talking to us. There's something out there." Charlie loved taking his fishing rod, tackle box, and fold-up chair to the short pier near his house. He had such low expectations of actually catching anything, he really just enjoyed the calm. Tracking the tides before he left the house, even looking into the breeds of fish that frequented the area, he knew what was waiting for him. And he was comfortable waiting for them. In his mind, fish were the perfect metaphor for the universe, ultimately indifferent. Fish didn't care if he went home alone, if he went hungry or were spoiled for riches. They weren't concerned for the whole of their species, for the betterment of their group, focused only on what was in front of them. Need dictated their world. Above all that sat Charlie, with reel in hand and bait on hook. Every wave coming in still shook me. My thoughts should be on Leslie, but every splash that tries to choke me reshuffles my needs. The water around us was warmer than it should have been, but I couldn't hold it against her. We were equally scared. I'm reminded that this is all out of my hands. We trudge out further as the sun comes up. colors like I've never seen take my mind off the cries and the tight grip of my wife's hand. The community meeting was a first for Charlie and Leslie. They had lived together in a number of cities, but never really felt like part of something. It never occurred to them just how much might actually be affected by the locals. Together, they began to see the synergy of his residents for the well-being of the greater community. It was because of them that speed bumps were built, yards were maintained, and noise was kept to a minimum. We met our local councilman. That was a first, someone who might actually fight for our interests. Leslie felt like the system was working for us for a change, that this is what it took, small communities without the city noise drowning out people's needs. It was in that glow, that first real safe feeling of community, that we went to sleep in utter calm. No yoga stretches, Ambien, or evening scotch. We found calm and security, that confidence in the greater body of interest and well-being. Hours of that calm sleep, no twisting, no turning, only calm. When the rag was placed over my mouth, I still thought I was dreaming. It was a flying dream. My brain did its best to think it was an oxygen mask being placed over me during a plane ride, but deep down I knew it was deliberate. I dread what Leslie must have thought of it all. With the fear of being suffocated, she must have panicked first thing. If only I had control of my faculties. The ocean came with gentle waves at first. Shoved out 1 foot at a time, Charlie and Leslie stayed bound, hand in hand with every passing wave. They knew they were the newest family, but one of several. First year residents lined the shallow sands. Couples, families, and singles, all moving away from the eastern sunrise. Eyes trained on the water, waiting for the grim unknown. Something would come to the surface, rise, then fall. And with those movements, powerful surges pushed through the water, massive and pulsing, just out of reach, dictating the current of the ocean. Community means sacrifice. I've known that since I was a kid. My dad was stopped from displaying some of his art on our front yard, and I was grateful. It saved me from the ridicule of my fellow students. My arguments would never compare to those of the community. The art came down, and I went on living my life. I don't think my father cared about our street or our town at all. It was important for me that I fit in, but he'd yell, "You have to satisfy yourself first." Sometimes that means standing alone. Art should be able to stand alone. He could keep it. I never wanted to be alone. When the beast's arms broached the water, eyes widened, but no one screamed. Except for Mrs. Adams. Her yelp trailed off as she fainted. Mr. Adams was now responsible for their descent into the ocean. This was out of their hands. Their responsibility was only to make the offering. Tentacles coiled and rolled as a single eye broke the water's surface. Couples cried and clung to each other as the glistening arms lashed out on the waves. 4 more eyes rose behind the first, just before the mass of body came thrashing to the surface. It is important that you understand the sacrifice we make. Everyone in this community has stood where you stand, has wagered what you will. For the greater good, for the greater peace. We desire peace, and the beast provides. I would watch local weather reports and wonder how it was that currents and wind patterns never took their toll on our town. How quality of life could practically be guaranteed. I thought it was included in the mortgage. I should have known better. For those of you who are spared, know that your neighbor's sacrifice was for a greater cause. Those of you part of the benefaction, this community accepts your offering, your plea for peace, from the elements and beyond. The arms began to thrash through the waves at the families. The MacArthurs were swept up. Their screams lingered until they were dragged under the water. Another arm reached out straight, passing Leslie's side, as another curled out to Martin Johnson. His dog barked and bit at the arm, trying to defend its master. Martin was swept up in the grip of the tentacle, squeezed and pulled under, his mutt left behind. Was it over? Leslie opened her eyes and they met mine. She found comfort there, after she stopped crying, she saw a calm in me, unafraid, willing. I stood committed to the greater good, the sacrifice we make for life undisturbed. The end. I'd like to give a big thanks to Sean, Spooky Sean from Miskatonic Musings, for his help and for his podcast, Spooky Sean's Podcastery, which served as an inspiration for this. We'll be back soon, Melinda and I, doing our full production show. Stay tuned. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter for updates and horror news, and download the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and if you get a chance, leave us a review. That's always useful. Thanks a lot. This is me, Darren, signing off.